So we would like to thank Karen and Jake Ebelevis for sponsoring this morning's Pesach Locks and Learn. Eloi Nishmas, Jake's father, parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother, Yeshua ben Shimon Dov, their neshamas should have an aliyah. We are doing a brand new Mishnah, which happens to relate to Pesach pretty nicely. We are skipping part of the previous Mishnah, just so we can have this amazing coincidence of being up to this Mishnah on Pesach itself, as I say sarcastically. But we will see that we will briefly review the previous Mishnah later on, as it relates to this Mishnah as well. So the Mishnah states, and I can see already that I copied the wrong one here, so give me a second. This is the previous Mishnah. So we'll start reading the previous Mishnah so you can see the connection to this Mishnah. And then as we do this, I will multitask and bring up the correct Mishnah as well. That is the benefit of doing this on the computer, is you can correct mistakes pretty quickly. Okay, so the previous Mishnah, which we saw last week, is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, Al teratzes chavercha b'shatz kaso. We should not try to appease our fellow when he is angry. Va'al tenachamenu b'shatz shemesa mutal lefanav. We should not try to console them when their dead is in front of them before the burial. Va'al tishal b'shatz nidro. You should not ask them or question them in the hour when they're making a vow. Val tishta dolorosa b'shatz kalkalaso. And you should not strive to see them in the hour of disgrace. So last week we spoke at length about the first of those four, which was to not appease your friend while they are angry. We are skipping for now, not nechamenu, not to console them, b'shas mesa mutulafanov, as well as val tishol lo b'shas nidro, although it's related to what the rabbi just stated in his Masil Sasharam Shir, and we will jump off of this last one, al tishta de la rosa b'shas kalkoloso. You should not strive to see them in the hour of their disgrace. Okay, so keep that in mind as we now read our Mishnah, which for those who printed their sheets is not there. For those who are watching here online with me, I just inserted it where I now have it highlighted. This is the Mishnah we're going to be focusing on today. Shmuel HaKatan Omer. Shmuel HaKatan says, and as we read this, think about its connection to the previous Mishnah, as well as its connection to Pesach. Think as well as any other questions that might come up, and we will unpack that shortly. Shmuel HaKatan Omer. Shmuel HaKatan says as follows. Binfol oyivcha al tismach, uvikashlo al yagel libecha, penyira Hashem v'rav ve'enav v'heshev me'alav apu. Shmuel HaKatan said the following. If your enemy falls, do not exult. If he trips, let your heart not rejoice, lest the Lord see it and be displeased and avert his wrath from him. That is the entire Mishnah. So, let us start unpacking. What questions jump up at us as soon as we read this Mishnah? Shmuel HaKatan says, and what does he say? So you notice there is a nice little brackets in right after Shmuel HaKatan Omer, which says Mishlei Chaf Dalad. And if you follow along in the English, you'll see Shmuel HaKatan said, quote, if your enemy falls, end quote at the end of the sentence, and then brackets, Proverbs 24:17. So what's strange about this statement of Shmuel HaKatan? Feel free to jump in if you want to unmute yourself. Let's think about Pirkei Avos for a second. What is Pirkei Avos? Pirkei Avos is statements by sages that they want to impart to us. I will assume that everybody is just being Zoom shy for a moment, and I will, or eating their matzah and lox, and I will fill in what the major question of this Mishnah is. Shmuel HaKatan is quoting a pasuk from Mishlei. That is it. That is his entire Mishnah. He had, imagine you had press time. It was his moment to shine. And he got to say whatever he wanted to say. And his whole quote is just what somebody else said. This is what Shlomo HaMelech said in Mishlei. When your enemy falls, do not exult. It's a pasuk in Mishlei. Why are you bringing that as your statement in Pirkei Avos, or perhaps stated slightly differently? Why is the editor of Pirkei Avos bringing this as Shmuel HaKatan's statement, his go-to, what he wants to be known by? So that's the question that most commentators are going to deal with and to address, and we'll see that shortly. So that's question number one. Why are you just quoting a pasuk in Mishlei? We do not see this in other places in Pirkei Avos. Number two, what's the connection to the previous Mishnah? We'll think about that question as well, although maybe you'll see it, as we alluded to, jumping off that last part of the last Mishnah, Al-Tishtah de-la-Rosa b'shas kalkalaso, try not to see your friend in the hour of his disgrace. And now Shmuel HaKatan jumps off of that and says, when your enemy gets destroyed, don't be happy. So maybe we'll see a deeper connection between those two. Now, just taking Shmuel HaKatan's statement as that he quotes Mishlei, let's just assume he's just quoting Mishlei for a second. Is there anything that we have any questions related to this statement in Mishlei? So meaning right now, if we're just going to, let's isolate why Shmuel HaKatan is saying this and just quoting a Mishlei pasuk. Do we have any questions on this pasuk in Mishlei itself? So when I was reviewing this with my daughter yesterday, she pointed out, which was a great question, if I can say so myself, that the pasuk seems to be redundant. Now, we might be familiar with such statements, because Mishlei has many of these such statements that repeat themselves, that have sort of synonyms that go one after another. Bin fol oyivcha al tismach uvikashlo ayagel libecha seem to be saying the same thing in different ways. When your enemy falls, don't be happy, and when he falls, don't be happy. Right? So it sounds like it's saying the same thing. So we want to understand, is there a difference between those two statements, or is it just poetics that we're repeating it in a slightly different way? And then if we look at the second half of the pasuk, so if I would tell you, don't rejoice in your enemy's downfall, what reason would you give? Right? If you think about it, what reason would you give not to rejoice in an enemy's downfall? And I'm not going to ask you to unmute yourself at this point, and I'm going to assume that you are all thinking in your heads and not going to answer verbally, but feel free to unmute if you have something to say, but stop me, but I will now just keep going. So the reason you might give, I don't know, why would I not rejoice my enemy's downfall? Maybe it's not ethical, it's not moral, it's the wrong thing to do. Here's what the pasuk says. Pen yira Hashem v'ra be'enav. Maybe God will see that you are rejoicing. It will be bad in his eyes. Ve'heshev me'alav apo. And he will no longer be upset, angry at the enemy, but rather the anger is going to subside. Ve'heshev me'alav apo. So is that really a good explanation? That the only reason why we shouldn't rejoice in the downfall of an enemy? So we want to understand both why the redundancy bin fol oyivcha al tismach uvikashlo ayagel libecha seems to be saying the same thing in different words, and then as well we want to understand what's the reason why not. Okay, so that's question number, I think we're up to three. Number one is, why is Shmuel HaKatan repeating? Number two is, why is this related to how is this related to the previous Mishnah? Number three, why the repetition? And number four, what is this the only explanation as to why I shouldn't be doing it? Is the explanation because maybe Hashem's going to get upset at the fact that I am rejoicing and now will no longer be upset at the enemy? Let's keep piling on another more questions. What enemy are we talking about? Right? Who is this oyivcha? Is it referring to a guy I'm upset at because he cut me off while I was driving? Is it about the guy who's, made fun of me in class? Is it about an enemy who's trying to take down the Jewish people? Is it about somebody who's Jewish? Is it about somebody who's not Jewish? Who is this enemy that we're talking about? And part of the answer to that question is going to be really the final question that we're going to ask is, are there any exceptions to this rule? / Do we have other statements that seem to indicate otherwise? The answer is there are other statements, there are other psukim that seem to be saying that when somebody, an enemy, goes down, an enemy does have a downfall, you should be happy about that. That's something that we should celebrate. So now our question, and our final question is, who is this talking about? And as a consequence, are there any exceptions to this rule that I should never rejoice in an enemy's downfall? Well, maybe it depends on the enemy, and maybe it depends what rejoicing means. Does it mean explicit rejoicing, internal rejoicing? So really a lot of open questions that as we start seeing the commentaries are all going to deal with. And I guess I keep saying, I just said last question, let's add one more. What in the world does this have to do with Pesach? So let's start by looking at the Rambam, source number two. So the Rambam says as follows. As we've mentioned in the past, the Rambam's explanation and commentary on Perkei Avos is usually very terse. He doesn't give us a lot of information. And here he follows that path and writes, Va'af al pi sheshlomo hu asher amar zeh hatzivui. So he addresses right away our question, which is one of our first questions. Didn't Shlomo say this? This is just a pasuk in Mishlei. Aval ha-chacham hazeh haya mechanich b'zos hamida u'mazir mizos ha-aveira. So he says, okay, you're right, Shlomo HaMelech said it. But Shmuel HaKatan was somebody who would be mechanich b'zos hamida. This was his motto, as it were. This was something that he internalized and that he warned about and that he spoke about, even though it was something that Shlomo HaMelech stated first. There's no originality, as it were, but this was the banner that he held high. This was something that he spoke about. Whenever he gave a talk, he would talk about this point. This is something that was near and dear to him, and that's why he says it. So yeah, not everything in Pirkei Avos has to be a chiddush. Not everything in Pirkei Avos has to be a novel teaching. This is something that he just quoted Shlomo HaMelech, and that's why he is quoted here in Pirkei Avos as saying this. It's a nice answer. Doesn't tell us that much, because we still don't know. Another question we could ask is, who was Shmuel HaKatan? Why? Who? If this is what he was saying, is there anything about him that we know where this statement of don't rejoice in your enemy's downfall would shed light on who he was and what his teachings were and what he's trying to impart to us reading this 2,000 years later. So who was Shmuel HaKatan? So let's look at source number three. So Shmuel HaKatan, there's a few Gemaras that relate to him. Here's one famous one, and this one later commentaries point to our Mishnah as being important in this Gemara, and our Mishnah go hand in hand on some level. And here's what the Gemara says. So Shmuel HaKatan, there are some, we'll see in a few moments in some commentaries, there's some debate as to exactly when he lived, but he lived sometime around the time of the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, give or take a half a generation or so. So somewhere between the year 50 and 150 CE. And he writes, and the Gemara says as follows, Tana Rabbanan. So the rabbis taught, Shimon HaPakuli histir shmona esrei brachos lifnei Rabbi Gamliel al seder b'Yavne. So in Yavne, before Rabbi Gamliel, Shimon HaPakuli instituted or stated our 18 brachos. We know shmona esrei, we say 18 brachos of shmona esrei, so it's 18 brachos. So Amar Lahem Rabbi Gamliel l'chachamim, Klum yesh adam shi yodei l'tak en birchas aminim. So Rabbi Gamliel looks at these 18 brachos and he says, great job. These look like great 18 brachos, but you're missing something that's important for our day and age, and that would be a birchas haminim. What's birchas haminim? That's the bracha of the lamalshinim, where we daven that the people who are heretics, here in the commentary, in the English translation here, directed at the Sadducees, whoever the heretics were of the day, who were trying to destroy the Jewish way of life, or the rabbinic way of life, we want to say a bracha to ask them, what do we say in that bracha? V'lamashinim al tisikva, v'chol arisha karega toved, right? So they shouldn't have any hope. They should be everything they're trying to do, all the badness should be uprooted. So can anybody say a bracha like that? And somebody raises his hand. Amad Shmuel Akatan v'tikna. So Shmuel Akatan, our Shmuel Akatan from our Mishnah, gets up and institutes this bracha of Birchas Haminim. So the 19th bracha, V'lamal Shinim, was instituted by none other than our Shmuel Hakatan. So if you look here in source number 4, the Toldos Shimshon. So Toldos Shimshon is Shimshon Chaim Nachmani, 18th century. He was a rabbi, a makubal. This is just a brief introduction to his to who he was. And he was a poet of Italy. So Toldos Shimshon, who wrote the Sefer Toldos Shimshon as well, Zera Shimshon, for those familiar with it on the Torah, writes that these two ideas are integrally connected. I originally heard this idea in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, who stated it in the name of Rav Kook, but the Zera Shimshon from the 18th century predates both of them. And he writes as follows: L'dida nira shekola perushim shonim shachach bo mefarshe mishle va'af mashakos mefarshe mishnah him divra lokim chayim ki shivim panam l'torah upshata pasuk. So he says that he quotes all the Mefarshim, they're all great. But I'm going to give you my own explanation. So he says, like the Rambam, the Tana doesn't mean to add anything, he's just quoting the Pasuk, and that's all he means to do, just quoting a Pasuk. So now he's connecting the two. He says, why does he have to be the one who's telling us, because he's the one who instituted this 19th bracha of Berchas Haminim, asking all of those who are trying to do bad things to the Jewish people that they should be cursed. Kedamrina beperek dalad bebrachos veikra kavana tikun bracha zu haynu kama shekasav ariyah kadosh lefi she'az besof bayisheni nisrabu arishayim v'achizas haklipo. So in that time, during the times of the second base mikdash, there was a lot of wicked people. V'anu mispalim sheichrutu arishayim. We don't want them to have a foothold. We don't want them to have any momentum. Alti tikva shloti elahem achiza, that they shouldn't have any stronghold, any standing within the world. And that's why umiata. So next line here, umiata nisyari shmuel akatan pen yulamida olam lekalal oyveyam arishayim hol shirol shmuel akatan. So now what's the matter? What's the problem? So Shmuel HaKatan is the one who instituted V'lamal Shinim. He's afraid, the Zera Shimshon says, that people are going to see him and be like, okay, now I can curse out everybody who I don't like. Any enemy I have, I'm going to curse him. V'lamal Shinim Atisikva. And this guy, again, cuts me off on the street. And this guy I'm upset at for doing something else. And everybody I'm just going to curse out and get rid of them. So therefore, he had to compensate, as it were, from people coming to that conclusion, and therefore he had to always go out and say, no, bin fol ayvcha al tismach, don't be happy with the fact that your enemy is having a downfall. And then the way Rav Soloveitchik and quoting from Rav Kook is that it's Dafka Shmuel HaKatan who is the one who was able to say this bracha and make this bracha because this was his MO. This was something that he would go around saying, I'm not happy that my enemy's downfall. This bracha is not a bracha about rejoicing in an enemy's downfall. Rather, there's a practical blessing that those who are trying to destroy us shouldn't succeed. That doesn't mean I'm happy if they are, if they are not successful. And it doesn't mean also that I would apply that to people who aren't necessarily worthy of this curse, right? So the main point here, and I think this really sets up a framework for us to struggle with this, is that there are times where we do daven or have to ask for our enemies to not be successful. The question and sort of the pushback is twofold: is what is our emotional reaction when that happens, and number two is to be careful not to expand it to cases that are not really enemies, but are just our own personal enemies that we think, oh, that guy's wicked, that guy's wicked, that guy's wicked. So we're going to add them to the list of people we don't like and them to the list of people we don't like. So it's both of those things to consider. And we'll see this as we go through more Mefarshim, is to keep in mind that there's a balance here of enemies falling, which is something we want, we daven for. We don't want them to have any success, as well as, you know, that being said, not rejoicing per se. We have to define what rejoicing is when they don't have that success. So we're davening for it, but we're not so happy about it. And that is why Shmuel HaKatan is the one chosen to give this bracha, as well as he had to compensate for the fact that he made this bracha of Olam Malshinim by constantly just saying, that's all he's doing. He's just quoting this pasuk in Mishlei because he wants to make sure that people don't take this in the wrong way. So let's try to delve in a little bit and answer some more of the questions, all with this in mind, of this tension between, on the one hand, the not rejoicing in an enemy's downfall, on the other hand, davening for an enemy to have a downfall. How do we sort of understand this? This tension. To give you a small little Kingsway history lesson. So on the set, if you look at the end of this, if you printed it out, it should be page 4 and 5. But for those who are watching me over here, so I have here source sheets from a shiur that I gave according to my Gmail account in 2011. So this was back in the day when I was still a rabbinic intern, and I used to do, for those who remember, the live and learns at Saver. So we used to go in the back, and we used to, you know, during lunchtime during the week, once a month, once every 6 weeks or so, and have a I gave a shiur. This is before locks and learns. These were live and learns. So if you remember I think Polo used to come a lot. I don't know if anybody else is on the call who used to come. My mother used to come. Hello, mother. So the format was I used to have to structure the shiur in two parts because there was the people ordered, and then we had to wait for the food to be made. So in between the ordering and the food coming out, I gave part one of the shiur. And then after the food came out and people ate a little bit, I gave part two to the shiur. So I always had to think about structuring the shiur in a way that was sort of fit nicely into that break in the middle. So this one actually worked beautifully because the way I set it up, so this was after Bin Laden was killed. So the title of the shiur was From Pharaoh to Hitler to Bin Laden, the Torah's Approach to the Death of an Enemy. And the way that I set it up was that the first half of the shiur was basically building up, based on this pasuk in Mishlei. I did not quote the Pirkei Avos, but other sources as well. One that I'll do now just so you can see the context. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin here says, Sanhedrin 39b, that Ba'osa Shah Bikshu Malachi Ashar Slomar Shira. So this is the connection to Pesach. When the reason why we say half hallel on the second days of Pesach is related to this concept. So when the Malachi, so when the Mitzrim, when Bnei Yisrael were crossing through the Yamsuf, the Mitzrim were drowning. So the Malachi Asharis, the angels wanted to say Shir, they wanted to sing a song. And Amar Lanu Kadosh Baruch Hu, God says, Masa Yadai Tovim B'yam Ba'atem Omrim Shira Lefanai, my creations are drowning in the sea, and you're saying, and you want to sing a song of praise before me. So the basic understanding of that, according to most commentaries here, is that God was saying that the Egyptians are drowning. They are my Masa Yadai. They're my creations. God created them. They're drowning. And you want to say Shira? That's not a time to sing praises to God. And then the Shibole Aleket, the next source, ties it in. V'chein atamotze kol shev yimei achag, anu gomer mesahalel, v'bepesach ein anu gomer mesahalel. So on Sukkot, we say full halal the whole Sukkot, but on Pesach, the second day is what we're in right now, we only said a half halal, as Itai sang for us. El yom rishon v'leila v'lama, Shmuel ben Abba, Omar ben Fol Ayivchal, tismach l'fi shenitbu bo amitzrim. The reason we say a half halal, according to Shibole Aleket, on the second days of Pesach is because now we're looking at it from the view of the fact that the Mitzrim died during this time period, or at least when they crossed the Yam Suf, and because of that, we are limiting our own praise to God, because the Mitzrim, our enemies, they wanted to kill us, were killed during that time period. And you have various other sources. We're not going to go through it now. It's not the point of the shir to go through every single source here, because we're focusing more on Pirkei Avos. But the first half, all these sources on the first page, all built up this point that we're starting to build, is that you shouldn't rejoice in the downfall of an enemy. And there's many reasons for that. They're Maaseh Yadai. It's they're God's creations. And then we broke and had lunch. And then when we came back, here's the second half. This is the tension that I'm referring to now. Is the second half of this year presented the point of the pasuk in Mishlei that says "Betuv tzadikim talotz kiryah v'avod rishayim rina." That Shlomo Melech also says when the wicked perish, there is song. So how can it seems to be contradicting each other? The two psukim are contradictory. On the one hand, "Bin fol oyv chal tismach," don't be happy when your enemy rejoices. On the other hand, "V'avod rishayim rina," there you should rejoice when Rishayim are destroyed. So should I be rejoicing or should I not be rejoicing? Shlomo HaMelech himself seems to contradict himself. And it's a similar tension to the V'lamal Shinim versus the Shmuel versus Bin Fol Oyv Chal Tismach. We're davening for them to have a downfall, and we're saying don't be happy with their downfall. So how do we resolve this tension? How do we get through the fact that we have what seem to be contradictory, or perhaps maybe they're complementary, but they're seem to be on the surface level contradictory sources, on the one hand rejoice, on the other hand to pray, and then perhaps even be singing during their downfall. The Mitzrim tried to kill us, but yet we're decreasing our own song because they are drowning. How do we understand this? How do we deal with this? And now we're going to take that and put it within more of a Pirkei Avos perspective. So back to the top of the pages, where we're going to skip source number 5 for now, and let's go to source number 6. Okay, so source number 6 is the Maharal, Derech Chaim. Please remind me if I forget. I would like to go back to source number 5 at the end, but if we miss it or we don't have time, we'll make it up at a different time. So the Maharal says as follows. So Maharal's dealing, we're not going to read this all inside, but the Maharal's dealing with a few points. Number one is Hu Shmuel HaKatan. That's going to be the second paragraph. The first paragraph is going to be dealing with the connection to the previous Mishnah. Okay, these are all questions we raised in the beginning. What's the connection to the previous Mishnah, and who is Shmuel HaKatan, and how that relates to this Mishnah as well? So let's look at least to start off with in the first paragraph here. So he says, "Nismach divrei Shmuel HaKatan lekan, mipnei she'amar lifnei zeh v'al tishtadel l'ra'oso b'shas kilkalaso." So in the previous Mishnah, as we already alluded to, it says, "Do not look at your enemy when they are being damaged, when they are going through their downfall." And now Shmuel HaKatan comes and jumps off of that end of the previous Mishnah. So he says, "Umashma mipnei shu sameach b'kalkalaso shelo, v'libcho hu balur oso, v'al ze amar sh'al yishtadel oso. Umashma shdafka sh'al yishtadel oso, shebeze mitzar oso." So he says that there's two different problems here. The assumption here is that both these Mishnayos are referring to when your enemy or when your somebody you see is going down. They're having their yerida. They're falling. So when they fall, so there's two things. Should you not look at them? And then there's the emotional the internal emotional aspect of it. So he says the previous Mishnah is dealing with how you interact with that person. So don't interact with them. Don't go see them when they are in a state of falling down, because, as he explains, when they're in a state of falling down and you go see them, especially if you're their enemy, what's that going to do? It's going to make them feel even worse, because you going to see them, even, he says in the last paragraph here, he says, even if you're going to perhaps comfort them, your presence during a downfall of an enemy will make the enemy upset. They don't even want to see you at that point in time. So don't even approach them. Don't even go next to them. That's one level. That's the previous Mishnah. But now this Mishnah is coming and adding, we're not just talking about how you should interact and relate, but we're also talking about how you should internally feel. The internal feeling should not be one of happiness. But the question, again, is why not? If my enemy, especially if it's an enemy of God, as it were, it's not just somebody who I don't like, why shouldn't I be happy? Why shouldn't I have an internal state of happiness when they are falling? So one way to look at this is to split and to say it depends who we're talking about. If we're talking about somebody who's my personal enemy, then I could understand that I shouldn't be happy when they have a downfall, because they're a personal enemy. So when it says enemy, it doesn't mean God's enemy. It doesn't mean vilamal shinim. It doesn't mean people who are against the Torah. It means my personal enemy. So don't be happy when they have a downfall. But when can you be happy? So you can be happy when there's an enemy of the state, as it were. So then you could be happy. Maybe that's one way to split it. The problem with splitting it that way is what we just saw from the Pesach perspective, is that we're talking about Egyptians. So Egyptians, who are an enemy of the state, enemy of God, enemy of the Jews, so even them, there's this aspect of not rejoicing. Right, so far from basically what we briefly saw from the Maharal is that he's connecting it to the previous Mishnah, is that it's not just about how I should behave when an enemy has a downfall, but it's also how I should internally react. My internal reaction shouldn't be one of happiness. But we still need to understand, why not? If it's an enemy of God, why should, or an enemy of the state, why shouldn't I be happy, enemy of Bnei Yisrael, why shouldn't I be happy when they fall? So let's skip the second paragraph now and go to the Rashbats. Okay, so this is going to be the bulk of where we're going to spend our next chunk of the shir on, because I think it's important to read this inside. There's a lot of great ideas here. Starting over here. So he first quotes the fact that he's the same problem the Rambam had, is that why are we just quoting a pasuk in Mishlei? So he quotes the Rambam and says, because this is what he used to say. Now, va'afilu haya ha'oyev rasha, ein lismoch amapalaso, va'afilu ha'lev ein lo lehisor begila, kamo sha'amar Iyov. Afilu is orus belev. So here, similar to what the Maharal was saying, this predates the Maharal, is that even, number one, even if it's a Rasha, completely wicked person, don't rejoice. Number two, rejoicing is not just about external, it's about internal as well. You should not rejoice internally when an enemy is destroyed. And the question is why? Six reasons he gives. Okay, six explanations. Why shouldn't I rejoice in the downfall of an enemy? Okay, so Norm's asking on Facebook, how do you control internal feelings? You feel it, then what to do? So that's a fair question, which gets into a point that we've discussed a number of times, which I'm going to sidestep for now and briefly say you could, in theory, control internal feelings through working on your mindset, which is a separate question as to what do you do if you feel that, then what, meaning if I feel something, and then the question is what to do, right? So that's one way of looking at it. But there is an approach that you can work on actually the feeling itself to not feel that in the first place. But that takes a lot of work and a lot of thought control, as it were, which is perhaps what the message here is that I should be working on my internal thoughts, beliefs, perspectives, so that this would be my gut reaction. And it takes a lot of work. It's a good question, but I think that we could work on our internal feelings as well. So he says here six different explanations. Number one, ki asameach bepamalas haoyev. So number one is that if I'm happy when an enemy, including a wicked person, falls, it's as if I'm saying that God was obligated to do that for me? Kilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chayav LaHashlem Ritzono. It's like God's my messenger, as it were. So by me being happy, there's the wrong idea, the wrong belief system here that comes out is that God's going to do whatever I think is right. So that's one mistake that can come out of this. Number two, Va'od Samach Le'ed Lo Yinakeh, Pasuk in Mishlei, V'yachol Hu She'yapol B'mapalaso. Much more practical explanation. What happens if I'm happy when my enemy rejoices? So the Rashbat says you have to be careful for yourself here. He's saying that when the enemy goes down, I might go down too. That there might not be an easy way for God to protect me if the enemy, let's say I'm happy my enemy's going down, but he wants to get retribution. He wants to get me back, or within the punishment for the enemy I happen to be around, I might get stuck somehow in that punishment as well. So it's a more practical, functional explanation is that don't be so happy when an enemy goes down, because in that downfall, you yourself, even if you're not culpable or guilty, you yourself might get hurt. So don't be too happy. Be cautious. Be nervous. That's number two. Number three, ukemoshu lo yachpot shismachu lo im haisa nafsho tachas nefesh oivo lama yismachu al acherim. V'haptel reicha kamocha point. Right? If you wouldn't want to, you wouldn't want your enemy to be happy if you had a downfall. So why should you be happy when your enemy has a downfall? Okay, so it's sort of like it's reciprocity here. Don't do it because you might not like it either. Number four, v'chol shechenim u'mechuyev l'makom she'asul ismoch b'mapapalas chavero she'mechuyev kamohu. Then he says, especially if you yourself aren't so hot either, meaning you're not such a great tzaddik, you have your flaws, so you're happy that this Rasha is getting his bid, he's going down, but guess what? You don't have such great rap sheet either. You're not so great, so don't get too excited, because you might also be obligated, and you might also, not even from a punishment perspective, but who are you to be so happy? You're not so great, you're not so hot. So that's number four. Number five, then he says, God's not even so happy. What we quoted before, our Pesach connection. So God's not so happy about it, and you're happy about it? You shouldn't be happy? Number six, right, so we're forgetting. The Pasuk gave an explanation as well. So he says that by you being happy, God's now going to look at you. And remember, the Pasuk says he's going to remove his anger from the enemy. And some actually understand that, we'll see this more in a second, is that then it will go on you, actually. It's not like the anger gets deleted. The anger gets replaced from the enemy to you. So it's almost a punishment that you would be getting for getting happy at your enemy's downfall, is God's anger at the enemy will now be transferred over to you. And he finishes off this section by saying, in the end of that six, Yera be'enav shechashavto shluchacha lahashlem ritzonecha, and he circles back to what he said in the first explanation, which is God's not going to be happy at you now, because it's as if you're saying, God's my shaliach, God's my messenger. Listen, here's my enemy, he's going down. Oh, I'm so happy, it's like God's doing my will. I'm winning. God loves me. He's following my way. And when you do that, when you think God's your shliach, your messenger, God says, takes a step back and says, I don't want to have to represent you. I'm not your messenger. I'm not going to be doing your bidding. And then there could be a switch from punishment from the enemy to punishment for you, because you are making it as if God's your messenger. So this is how the Rashbat deals with the reasons as to why we shouldn't get happy. It's either practical, maybe you'll get punished, God doesn't like it, what would you like if you were in that situation, as well as don't make it look like you are that God is your messenger. So I don't want to get too complicated here. There's another girsa, if I'm not complicated already, I'm not sure. I don't want to get even more complicated, let's put it that way. There's another version of this Mishnah, which complicates the discussion a little bit, but in the end doesn't totally change that much. So we're going to bypass that for a second. And we are going to focus on this last part here, where he says, where he brings up this question: does it apply to who does this apply to? Who is this enemy that we're talking about? So the Tashbetz's opinion here is that it's only talking about enemies that we shouldn't rejoice if they are Jewish enemies. Kfar Amar Berishon b'Megillah Shezelo Nemar El B'Yisrael. But if you're talking about this, the Gemara talks about this in the dialogue between Mordechai and Haman, where Haman tells Mordechai, why are you so happy that I'm going down, that I have a downfall? Doesn't the Pasuk say you shouldn't rejoice in the enemy's downfall? And Mordechai responds, that's only for Jewish enemies, that's not for non-Jewish enemies like you, Haman, who, you know, I guess you could add, who are trying to destroy the Jewish people. For that, that's where the Pasuk that we quoted before is that, no, we should be happy with the downfall of enemies of the Jews who are trying to destroy the Jewish people. And then the Tashbetz adds, V'chein hu miposhe Yisrael mutter lismoach lo, lom b'nei sin aso. So Snai says, what about somebody who's a sinner within the Jews? So he says, you could be happy about that too. Lom b'nei sin aso oso, el b'nei shu sono shel makom. Not because, and this is an important caveat, and we're going to try to knock this down a little bit as well. Not the happiness when a, well, we're going to knock down both of these points. But number one is you're allowed to be happy when if it's an enemy of the Jewish people, if it's a non-Jew. Number two, he says you're allowed to be happy if it's a sinner within the Jewish, a poshe Yisrael, an intense sinner, as it were. You're allowed to as well. But his caveat is not because you don't like him. El b'neshu sono shel makom. It's because this person hates God, and now you're defending God. It's not a personal happiness. It's a religious, a godly happiness, as it were. So here's what we're going to knock down both these points on some level. Let's give more nuance to these points. So number one, in terms of this point that it refers to, to Jews only and non-Jews, you could be happy. So number one point is what's the problem with that limitation? What's the biggest problem? We've already seen it. Why does this Tashbetz not make sense, even though he's quoting a Gemara? But why is that Gemara incomplete? Because we saw it apply to the Mitzrim, that you shouldn't be happy, or God wasn't happy, he wasn't rejoicing when the Mitzrim were dying. And they're non-Jews, and they were enemies, and even then there's an aspect of not rejoicing too much. And there are commentaries who disagree with the Tashbetz here and say that this applies even when non-Jewish enemies are being destroyed. We could feel relieved, as it were. We could even daven for for enemies who are trying to destroy us to be destroyed. But that level of that happiness, to jump around, to dance for joy, to sing songs is inappropriate. That's not what we should be doing, even with enemies of non-Jews. And then in terms of the Poshe Yisrael, so those who are Jewish, I would just say here as follows. This would, even to get to the Tashbetz's level, you would be talking about a very serious sinner, not just somebody who, we don't like because they do a little bit of sins here, a little bit sins there. It would have to be a very serious sinner. And then second of all, you would have to take in the caveats that he said before, is that if you yourself aren't so great, then you don't get the right to rejoice, as it were, because you also are a sinner. That's why it would have to be a very serious sinner. You would have to be on a high level. And then even then, I would argue there's some room to be nuanced and a little bit less happy as well. And for this, I'll go back to that source we skipped before.
Here's the Beis Yisrael, source number 5. Rabbi Yisrael of Kuznets, the Kuznets Rebbe, or the Magen Mikuznets, writes as follows on this Mishnah Perkei Avos. So he says, Shmuel HaKatan Omer ben Ful Oyivcha Al Tismach, Oyivcha Nikra, Misha Over Avera, Umiaroy Lisnoso. So who is somebody who's an Oyev? Is somebody who violates a sin. He does a sin, and it's proper to hate this person. Now, the afal pikein, hiziratana sha'al tismach benefilaso. Still, don't be happy. They're an oyev, they're a sinner. Don't be happy when they get punished. Ki be'emes sarach adam lahev kol echad miyisrael. Because we have to love every Jew. Rak sheyisne hara shebo. Hate the wickedness within them, not the person, but the wickedness within them. Kimamar Chazal Miksev Yitamu Chotim Chataim Ksev, as Buria, a famous Gemara, says, that she says, doesn't say the sinners should be destroyed, the sin should be destroyed. V'yachso v'dayto shafilu over avera, efshar zehu machmas shenola b'mazel zeh, v'imnolati ani b'mazel ulayisi chota b'yoser chalila. If you see somebody sinning, don't judge the person. This is an idea we've seen before when it comes to Al Tadanas Chavercha and Avedanas Kol Adam Lekaf Schus, is that even in this case, we're talking about an Oyev who's going down, he's a Rasha, still you should not be happy because you should love every Jew. Don't love the sin. Don't love the Ra, the bad within them, but the person, you should not be happy when they themselves get injured or have a downfall. So the caveats so far are that we have still this tension between, on the one hand, that there might be some times where it might be appropriate to rejoice when our enemies have a downfall, but we are limiting that rejoicing. We shouldn't be rejoicing with all the caveats that we've said. We shouldn't be rejoicing. And even, I highlight, because I think it's the most extreme example, even God wasn't happy, as it were, or didn't want rejoicing and singing from the angels when the Mitzrim were being punished, when the Mitzrim were drowning. So, let's close with this Abarbanel. The Abarbanel writes as follows. So some of this we've seen in other sources, so we're going to pull out the parts that we haven't done. So he says here that, let's go to the, go to this part over here. So it's the third paragraph. The Nirali, that Shmuel HaKatan, he quotes all the questions about, is he just re-quoting Mishle? Why is he doing this? So he basically ends as follows, and he says that, yes, he's re-quoting Mishle. He gives a lot of nuance and details here. He ties it into the previous Pasuk in Mishle. And then he ends off this paragraph by says, Hine, Im Kain, Haya Iker HaMusr, Shekasher Yira Adam Mapalas Oivo, Al Avono Lo Yismach, Ki Gam Hu Chote B'davar Acher, Aval Yorei Es Hashem. So he says the main point that we pull away from this Mishnah is that we should not be happy with our enemy's downfall because we also sin. We also do bad things. We also make mistakes. And we shouldn't be so happy about it, not rejoicing from it. And he alludes to a lot of the things the Rashbat says. Then he says as follows, last paragraph. Uvilindenu amru, bin fol evcha al tismach tziva makom, ki sira chamor son acha, ki sifka shor evcha, amar lokim ein ata tov mimeni. So he what the Abarbanel does here, I think, is a very important and powerful move, is that the Abarbanel says, we asked the question on Shmuel HaKatan. Why is Shmuel HaKatan quoting Mishle on its own and just stopping there? So the Abarbanel says, you have to realize something important. This is really a broad message. Where do we get our messages from Perkei Avos from? So Perkei Avos isn't built off of nothing. These aren't things where that the sages just made up, right? the ideas and the values and the ethics and the morals of Pirkei Avos are all rooted within Tanakh, right? If anything, you can make an argument, and this might be a good study to do. When I was I took a class in graduate school at Bernard Revel Graduate School of Jewish Studies with Dr. Schneer Lyman. It was a class in Mishlei. And in the introductory class, Dr. Lyman pointed out that there isn't much scholarship on connections between how Mishlei, how Pirkei Avos builds off of Mishlei. And this is one of those good test cases where you see that on that Pirkei Avos on some level is just an extension of Mishlei. And then you can ask the same question on Mishlei. Where does Shlomo HaMelech get his ideas? So you can make the argument one step further back, and that Shlomo on some level is regurgitating and rehashing and reformulating ideas that are found, that are rooted in Torah, in Sefer Shmos, in Sefer Vayikra, and Sefer Bereishit, right? So the Abarbanel is saying that we can ask the question one step further. Mishlei is basically just going back and regurgitating and rehashing ideas that we find in Chumash. So let's read this again. It says in Mishlei, "Bin pol oivcha al tismach." Tziva makom. We already have this concept. The kernel of this idea is already found in Chumash. Kisira chamar sonacha. Right? When I encounter my enemy's donkey, right? I have to help. But he's my enemy. Kisifka shor oyvcha. But he's my enemy. Why should I help my enemy's donkey, or help my enemy load, with his donkey's load? Amar Elokim, ein ata tov mimeni. Ketzav ru'uyim ayu Yisrael likros as halal kol shivas yimei ha-Pesach, shem koron oso shivas yam ha-Chag, vein koron al yom rishon bavad. V'lama kein, why do we read one day of Hallel and not the rest on Pesach? B'shul shenergu ha-Mitzrim, v'tavu b'yam, shem sonai, v'aniach tatvim choy v'chal tismach. God saying, I'm not happy about this. V'chein ata motzi b'noach, shal asol al-tash v'amitu. We find something similar with Noach. The Ein Suffolk by the end here, where it's underlined and bolded, Shekolzeh Pasuk Moralov. It's all based on this pasuk. So he's saying is that it all goes to Bin Fol Oivchal Tismach, which is rooted in Tirech Omer Sonacha. When you enemies, people we don't like, we still help. We don't hate them. We're not happy when they have a downfall. And if they have an issue, if they have a problem, we try to help them. And it's all rooted in Chumash. And then Shlomo HaMelech brings that out. And then Shmuel HaKatan brings that out again. Aval Shmuel HaKatan mipnei shayu ha-psukim ha-elu margal b'piv. It's something he used to say a lot. It was his M.O. It was his go-to speech. Shayim yaser b'nei adam l'chein yuchsin alav. That's why we give him the credit here. Vim ha-yosem divrei Shlomo ikarim v'shorshem b'tor b'mitzos lo sikim lo sitor es b'nei amecha. And you have it as well in Chumash, where we say don't take vengeance. Lo sisna sechicha b'vavecha. Don't hate your fellow. Liozeh shorsh galdu b'cheves b'nei adam v'kivutzam. And this is a essential piece of information for social interactions, for relationships, for communities, that even when we don't like people, even when we have enemies, we don't like it, we don't love it, we're not happy when they have a downfall. And if anything, we help our enemies when they have a downfall. Mazir love Tamid Hashem. And because this is so important, Shmuel HaKatan used to say it all the time. This was what he used to say. So there's no chiddush here. There's really no chiddush. There's no novel teaching here. When an enemy goes down, we're not happy about it. We're not happy. We don't rejoice. We don't sing. We don't say hallel. We don't say full hallel. So it's a very, on the one hand, difficult idea. It's a complicated idea. Both because it has to do with being aware of our internal feelings, as well as a complex complicated, mixed feelings, and being aware of what's going on inside of us, that we can honestly say that this isn't some when something bad happens to somebody we don't like, that even if they're enemies, even if they're bad, not just to me, and it's not just a petty argument, it's something that they're rishayim, they do many, many very important bad sins, they're enemies, threat to the Jewish people. We could be, on the one hand, relieved if we're saved, we want to be saved, but that saving and that savior is not a personal happiness that comes and now we rejoice. No, somebody's dying. Somebody's getting hurt. We don't dance in the street. And we'll end with one idea from the Meshech Chachma. I know I said the Barbanel will end with, but here's one idea from the Meshech Chachma. It says, Ki kol ha'amim, you have it in the Hebrew and the English here, Ki kol ha'amim bedasoseim hanimusios yasu yom ha'nitzachon yom ha'palas oivim l'chog chag ha'nitzachon. It says, most other nations establish a victory day on the day that their enemies fall. Lo ken Yisrael, lo yismechu ha'palas oivim. We are not, even our enemies, even the enemies we go to war with, lo yachug v'simcha alzeh. We do not create holidays. We're not happy. We do not rejoice when our enemies fall. K'mosha Amar bin Pola Yivchal Tesmach. Like our pasuk in Mishlei says, Pen Yira Hashem V'Rabbe Eino Veshem V'Lavapo. Hare Da Adam Amala Eino Sameach bin Pola Oivo. Somebody of a high quality, the moral quality we want here, is not happy when his enemy falls. Mishum Sha Simcha Rabbe Eino Hashem. Because that simcha, that rejoicing, is bad in the eyes of God. Hello, Rabbe Eino Hashem Tzarech L'Snoso. And if it's bad in the eyes of God, we should hate it. We shouldn't want to be happy when our enemies fall. V'lachin lo nizkar b'pesach chag ha-matzos kivo aseh b'mitzrayim shvatim, raki hotzi Hashem es b'nei yisrael b'mitzrayim. Why is it called chag ha-matzos? Not because the Mitzrayim was, the Egyptians were punished. That's not what we focus on. Raki hotzi Hashem es b'nei yisrael b'mitzrayim, because God took us out of Egypt. We focus on the positive that comes to us, not the negative that happens to other people. We are not rejoicing. Pesach is not about victory or destruction of our enemies. That's not what Pesach's about. It's about celebrating our freedom. It's a subtle difference, but it's an essential difference. L'chach al neis Chanukah, ena yomor rak al adlakas shemen zayis. Why is Chanukah? We always ask, why is Chanukah, why do we focus on the menorah and not on the Chashmonai victory? This is the answer. Because we don't rejoice from a military victory. That's not what Jewish holidays are about. V'chinuch bayis ha Hashem v'taraso. It's about the candles. It's about the spirituality. V'ashkachas elokim al amo beis Yisrael b'zman shalei navi v'chozu b'Yisrael. And the fact that God looks over us even when there was no navi and there was no prophets. Hashem's watching over us. And so we focus on why it's positive to us, not on why it's negative to others. B'nfol oiv chal tismach. We do not rejoice when our enemies have a downfall. That's not what Pesach's about, and that's why, for those who are thinking about it, the same reason why we do the Dam Sfardei, we take out the little bit of wine, is the same reason, same idea here, is because when the Egyptians are being destroyed, even with the Makos, we don't focus on their destruction, we focus on the positive qualities that we gain from it, the freedom to serve God. We're not happy with their destruction. It's not something we celebrate. And it's not something that we want to be known as celebrating the downfall of our enemies. So I think there's, sort of to recap and to close, there's a lot of layers here and a lot of levels of our understanding about this idea. I think this was a little complicated, as it were, because we're trying to do a lot of things today in terms of relating it to understanding the Pirkei Avos connection, and then we have to understand the Pasuk in Mishlei on its own, and then connecting it to Pesach in those levels, maybe it got a little complicated, but the main idea is that there is complexity here, and there's no simple, clear-cut answer as to, exceptions to the rule, not exceptions to the rule. When am I happy? When am I sad? I think this way of framing it is the best way to do it, is that when it comes to our own personal enemies, forget about enemies of the Jewish people, forget about, anti-Semites who want to destroy us. When it comes to our own personal enemies or even those who sin, I think it's pretty clear that we should not be happy when they have a downfall. Like no ifs, ands, or buts, no questions. For various reasons. But if they're just our personal enemies, or they do some levels of sin, we have no right or level even a question of being happy when that happens. We should be sad when our enemies get hurt. Not sad, but at least not happy when they get hurt. Then on the more complicated level is even when it's an enemy who's trying to destroy the Jewish people, we don't celebrate their destruction. We celebrate our freedom. It's a subtle difference, but an important thing to keep in mind as we go through Pesach, and that all comes back to what Shmuel HaKatan's telling us here in the Mishnah. No novel teaching, no brand new idea. But it's referencing back to Mishlei, which references back to ideas already in the Torah, which is that even if we have a sone, we still help them. We don't hate them. We don't ignore them. We do nice things for them when the time comes. Okay, so let's stop with the story.